The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Gerry McDermott is with me now, though. Gerry's Executive Director of the Irish Cultural Centre and a former Sheriff of Norfolk County in Massachusetts. Gerry, you're welcome to the show. We're all here kind of trying to make sense of what Donald Trump's position is with regards to Gaza. Maybe you can help us. So his initial comments, he seemed to suggest, you know, taking ownership of it, and there'll be US troops there. And then Marco Rubio and others tried to kind of walk him back and say, well, I don't think he meant that. I think he meant, you know, we'd temporarily remove Gazans and we'd clear out the rubble and we'd let the Gazans back in. And then Donald Trump seems to have taken to social media and said, no, they'll be happy elsewhere. We want the Gaza Strip. Wherein lies the truth?
Well, it's great to be back with you. And I think what Donald Trump is doing is actually masterful. He's really shaken things up and he's got the conversation going, which I think was his goal all along. So watching Trump, it's like he's playing three-dimensional chess. He says something and people say, oh my God, that's outrageous. How could he talk about, you know, displacing the Palestinian people, 2 million people? I think what he's trying to do is say to the Arab world, you must come up with a solution, because for 100 years, people have languished and suffered. And so many different prime ministers in Israel have tried to make peace settlements and land settlements, even giving up East Jerusalem. The two-state solution does seem to have failed, and people are just living in misery. So I think what Trump is trying to do is say, come on now, it's time for the likes of Jordan and Egypt and others to step up and help solve this problem. Now, as far as rebuilding it, let's be honest, Israel has the wherewithal to go in, clean the landmines, clean all that construction debris, and make the Gaza Strip a beautiful Riviera, as Trump said. But if Israel did that, they'd be accused of ethnic cleansing, no doubt, absolutely. For America to say, we'll take the lead, we'll clean it up and rebuild it, it's a little less, I think, painful. But at the same time, it still has people in across the Arab world with the hair standing up on the back of their head. So again, I think what Trump was doing is trying to lay down the gauntlet and say, you better fix this crisis or I'll come in and fix it for you.
But
he's got the conversation going.
Yeah, well, listen, he certainly has done that. But Gerry, the idea that, you know, if they don't fix it, he'll come in and fix it for them. How is that going down in the States? Because, you know, he would have run very much in the ticket of kind of non-intervention. The days of us kind of being the world's policemen are over. No more nation building. That doctrine dead in the water. And now, you know, you see talk of like kind of the resumption of kind of aid and supplies and support to Ukraine in return for precious minerals. And listen, you might say that's a good deal, kind of, but that's slightly a separate issue. It does seem like, you know, that doctrine is not necessarily dead in the water.
Exactly. So it's amazing. And there's many, many Trump supporters saying, hold on a minute. This isn't what we bargained for. We don't want to be the world police. We don't want to be nation building anymore. So whether it was, you know, Republicans like George Herbert Walker Bush or George W. Bush or Democrats like Bill Clinton or Barack Obama, the money flowed, right? Whether it was through the UN or some other non-governmental organization, an NGO, or through USAID, as we're finding out, money flowed. And sadly, we were either helping nations build. You know, we always like to believe we're the good guys with building democracies around the world. But we're finding out a little bit through the USAID that maybe our intelligence community was, you know, playing both sides against the middle to kind of topple and have regime change. So there's a lot going on at home here in America where your more liberal-leaning Republicans and your Democrats are screaming bloody murder that Trump is pulling back on USAID and the money that we give out in foreign aid. But the moment he says, well, no, I'm going to spend the money in Ukraine or I'm going to spend the money on fixing the problem at the Gaza Strip, they're screaming, no, don't meddle in those affairs. So we're having our own internal gut check, if you will, on what is the policy going to be, and is it going to be the same across the globe, or is it going to be, you know, kind of cherry picking which countries we're going to be an interventionist in and which ones we're going to stay back from. All the while, conscious that China is the Bigfoot and China is happy to fill the void, as they've proven in Africa and everywhere else around the globe. If there's a power vacuum, China's happy to rush in and see what's in it for them, particularly the rare earth minerals.
And is that something you'd be concerned about, Gerry, that one of the consequences of what appears to be the kind of Trump foreign policy doctrine, although I'm not entirely sure if we can kind of describe that with any degree of accuracy yet, but that China steps into that vacuum around the world, including in Europe. That's kind of, you know, you see headlines here in European publications the last few days talking openly about this, that the future might be closer ties between Europe and China rather than Europe-US.
Big problem for Europe if it is, because they will not respect any of your waters. Your fishermen will suffer. China goes in, they strip the earth of what they want, and they don't give a damn about human rights. The problem that's happened in the last administration under Joe Biden is Russia and Iran are now nearly joined at the hip with China. So we've got a lot of fence mending to do, and we have to beat China to the punch on being the leader around the world. So whether it's with economic incentives or the threat of military might to thwart China, that's what Trump is going to have to do. So it's very interesting. Many of us here in the States were a bit surprised that he didn't have somebody like former Ambassador Nikki Haley as part of his cabinet to, you know, work on some of these international affairs. But, you know, he's going along with this policy right now in Gaza. We're hearing no U.S. troops would be involved, that there would be some kind of a multinational, not through the United Nations, but a multinational peacekeeping force. I think the Trump folks do not trust the United Nations. But, you know, I do think that somebody like Jordan, Syria's still got its own issues, but Egypt, they have to step up and say, certainly we can absorb some, maybe not all, but some of the people, even temporarily, and allow the Palestinian people to come back after it's been rebuilt. And I think back to Venezuela, a failed socialist democratic nation. Venezuela is so oil rich, it never should have failed, but it was just their policies. Over a million people were absorbed into another South American country, Colombia. Had to take over a million people from Venezuela. It was so bad that they were actually eating the animals that came out of the zoo. That the starvation was rampant, and all because Maduro is, you know, such a far left socialist that he let the country go down the Swanee. But so it has happened where other nations, other countries have said, let me absorb that many people. For Colombia to take a million from Venezuela, I understand that most people around the world are saying, the Palestinians have a little bit of a track record of not being, you know, the best guests when you welcome them in. And that's what Jordan fears. Jordan knows that in the past.
I think the other kind of distinction people would make, in fairness, is that those Venezuelans were trying to get out of the country. The Gazans don't want to go anywhere.
And that tells you a lot. If you look at the rubble, if you look at it, it's truly a hellhole what they're living in. What is keeping them there? Is it just that they hate the Jews that much? I don't know. I don't have the answer, but why would you want to live there? If somebody said, look, if you move out
for 8 to 12 months. Some people, you know, it's the sense of place that they have.
But you could move back in after it's rebuilt. And before the violence, before all before Hamas started this war on October 7, Israel was bringing fresh fruit and produce. I mean, things weren't horrid in the Gaza Strip. They weren't perfect, but they were far from what they are now. It's complete shambles.
Jerry, thanks for joining us. Jerry McDermott, Executive Director of the Irish Cultural Centre, former Sheriff of Norfolk County in Massachusetts. Don't need to tell you what the texts are saying about some of that. But anyway.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.